Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle.
BECU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach.
Oh, yeah. It's Todd. Todd.
All right, there you go.
The most metal financial advisor ever.
Yeah. That's right.
You got a question for Todd, man. You know what to do. Call in 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. We want to thank BECU for making it happen. And if you don't know about BECU, it's a great credit union where all you got to do is live. You got to work. You got to attend or just hang out in Washington State. If you're in a school in Washington State, you're eligible for BECU. Check them out at BECU.org. Todd, what's up, buddy?
I'm loving the sunshine, BJ.
You're loving the sunshine. Loving and, you know, sunshine. Does it make you want to go out there and spend your money unwisely? Or are you still in good shape in that way?
I'm actually okay. It usually means work outside, right?
Yeah. I can agree with that.
But here I am, like, I spend money for fertilizer, right?
Yeah.
So it'll grow, so I can mow it some more.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Something's not right here.
There is something to be said, though, about the fact that when the weather gets good, puts us in a good mood. So, I mean, for me, I sometimes go, oh, I'll be carefree with my cash a little bit. I don't know if that's a thing, if it's just me, or if that's a thing. Like, holidays sometimes will do that to us. We're just feeling really good, maybe, and, oh, I'll buy more gifts than, you know, I want to be good to everybody, you know.
There's certainly some peer pressure, I feel, right, with the holiday gifts. You got to get everybody something, right, and you don't want to be a cheapskate. And
I feel that way about summer. It's like,
so
I've
you're
survived
a seasonal spender.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I've survived a long winter. I'm going to go out there, have a great time, and whoa, where'd all that money go? So I do have to be really, like, you know, vigilant and aware. Like, I probably should do it. So it's just me is what you're saying, Todd.
No. I
okay,
don't know.
Fine. You're asking the guy who's smart with his money if he ever does stupid things with his money.
Well, I was wondering if you know
done
about
a lot. Yeah. And I probably have a big laundry list.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done with your money?
I bought some Metro Media Fiber stock back about in the .com.
I don't even know what that means.
I love
because they don't exist anymore.
I love, though, Todd. Here's the thing. This is what's so great about Todd. He has no idea what he just said wasn't frivolous. It's you were doing what you thought was a smart financial thing.
I'm thinking like you bought a goat to help mow the lawn and fertilize it.
Something you did not need that was completely unnecessary that would never bring any return on investment.
Like a Yoda statue for my
That's
house.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, Todd, there's no non-ROI motivated purchase you've ever made in your life.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
There has to be something somewhere,
like,
right?
Like a big, big TV.
No. Look at him. No, he doesn't.
No. I have the old, big 1,000-pound things. Well, even though.
Still?
Not anymore, but you know.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
We're TV shame. Look at Todd.
Like, I still got a Zenith.
Don't shame me.
It still works. I don't need to buy another one. It still works.
I got a Zenith upstairs, a Magnavox downstairs. What's the problem, boys?
Todd, is this the first time in your life you've ever felt shamed for being financially responsible?
Why are you so good with your money, Todd?
What's wrong with you, Todd? You're not American. Well, we do have questions for you, Todd. And, you know, now we all feel like maybe, you know what, we were just not good enough to hang out with you anymore because you're like a smart guy. Let's go to JR in South Hill. JR, you are on the Rock.
Good morning, fellas and Vicky.
Hi.
All right, what you got for Todd, JR?
So, Todd, I've been in the market to buy a house for about a year now.
Uh-huh.
And I understand, you know, there's a saying for a reason, you know, buy low, sell high. I'm just kind of wanting your take on, you know, just buying a house in general. I mean, I know, you know, it's an investment, it's a long-term thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, $315,000, $325,000 ain't getting you nothing on South Hill.
Yeah, yep. Things have gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, and also we need to clarify because Steve had to learn this the hard way. You don't buy a house low and then get high and sell it. You don't. You have to
still live in the repercussions of that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
So, JR, are you planning on living there for a while? Not going to move anywhere?
Yeah, we plan. I mean, I would like to make an investment and make like a rental one day, but just, you know, I don't see it happening. But yeah, we plan on staying in South Hill forever.
Okay. Oh, well, long term, real estate is a great investment. I mean, can I tell you it's in the next year or two? No. But 5-10 years, yeah, it should appreciate. First thing you would do, where are you at in your process, JR?
I mean, we got a real estate agent. I'm approved for up to 350, probably more if I wanted. You know, the real estate agent was like, "Hey, we can get you more, but I don't want more." You know, I'm from Kentucky, where $150,000 gets you a mansion on a lake. But I know we don't live there.
Oh, so JR, I feel so sorry for you, man. It is so tough when you move to a place where you come from a place where things are what you think are reasonable, and then you come here and it's insanity. I do feel sorry for you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, JR, have you checked your credit yet? Is your credit solid?
Yeah, my credit's good. Okay. I'll take care of all of that and stay on top of everything.
Okay. Well, then do you have a down payment? How much are you going to put down? Have you thought about that?
Dad, I'm not 100% sure. I'm using the VA loan because I was in the Army, so I'm using the VA loan. So I don't know if I want to put anything down or go through that process. We haven't made up our mind on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you can put 20% down, that's optimal. Most people, when you're a first-time home buyer, that's difficult. But the 20% will make it so you don't have to pay any private mortgage insurance, or they call it PMI.
Yeah. It is an amazing thing nowadays if somebody could put 20% down.
Yeah.
We've been trying to tell Vicky that, but Vicky wants to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
So she's not going to do it.
But if you can't, you know, try for 10 and then search. I know the VA loans are a good product, but also just talk to your real estate agent or mortgage advisor would be who I would talk to about what your other options and compare them to make sure that PMI can be dropped when your house value does go up above your 20, so you get that 20% equity in there.
Okay.
So, Todd, I appreciate the call, JR. Todd, let me ask a question now, because we've talked about what you should do. You've got your job. Create an emergency fund.
Yep.
That's one of the big things you do.
Yep.
Then, of course, we think about our 401k and retirement. So if you want to buy a house, is that another thing you should be thinking? Like, as soon as you get a job, as soon as you're out there, somebody should encourage you, can you start a fund to get that down payment someday for a house? And you know that, well, if a house is going to be between, let's say, $500,000 seems to be what you got to expect around here. If you get under $500,000, good for you. So then you know you got to save, what, $100,000 to do 20% down? Is that possible? Is it plausible to do?
It's tough for young folks, BJ. I mean, I remember when I was trying, you know, starting out, this is 30 years ago, I was able to muddle up 5%.
Yeah,
that's what I came up with. And it was better than renting. It was, you know, a decision I was going to live here. I wasn't moving in the next, you know, foreseeable future that I knew of. And I've lived there for almost 30 years now. Same house.
Yeah, you've talked about the fact if you can also, like, you know, double your monthly mortgage so that you can really reduce the interest you're paying. A lot of folks don't realize, and Todd, I don't know if you know the what number it is, but what do we end up paying? Double the price of our house? Is it triple if we actually pay all the interest for the full 30 years? I mean, the number is staggering.
It is big.
You think, hey, I got a house for a really good deal. I got it for like $300,000. You go, nah, actually, wait till you see what you pay for it at the end of 30.
The same reason goes why we tell people to invest young, right? It's the same thing. It's just compound interest. So you're just paying interest and interest, but in this case, you are making your payments, which is paying down that interest on a monthly basis. But it's doing what we, you know, why we tell people to invest early, because you can make a lot of money.
So it's a tough call. And those are the things you got to think about in life, you know, because you don't, you know, what do I care 30 years from now? I'm in my 20s. What do I care? But man, you know, do I go for that retirement money, like you said, or do I try to save for a down or get some help? Do I double my mortgage payments so that I only have 15 years that I'm paying interest, which still can save you a significant amount of money?
And I would say that's probably one of the last things you do. So after you have your emergency fund, after you're, you know, you've paid all your credit card and auto loans, you got all all that taken care of, you're contributing to your 401k 10% or better, and then now you can start to think about making some extra principal payments on your mortgage.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of text messages based on that last caller about his loan with because he said something about a VA loan, mm-hmm. and they said that there's no PMI on VA loans.
Okay, perfect.
So a lot of people are talking.
Oh, that's
about
fantastic.
So I just want to get that out
perfect.
There. VA doesn't require PMI. No PMI on VA loans. VA loans don't allow PMI.
Oh, that's awesome.
You'll get stuck with it. So that's very cool for him.
Another great reason to be in the military.
Absolutely.
And also I'm happy that they do that because I feel like the folks that are in the military don't get enough perks, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. Let's go to Andy in Puyallup. Andy, you are on the Rock.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Not too bad, Andy. What you got for us, buddy?
So I've actually got kind of a fun one. See how much you can give me any information on. You'd mentioned a Yoda statue earlier, and that kind of prompted me to call in. I'm sitting on about 120K worth of Star Wars stuff.
Whoa.
And, it's a whole life of collecting, boys. But so I want to insure it, but what I've found is that a lot of insurance companies won't insure it as a whole. They want something, you know, preferably that's like an individual item that's $1,200 by itself alone, for instance, instead of, you know, an entire house full of nickel and dimes and action figures and autographs and stuff like that. And I'm just trying to figure out the best way I can go about insuring that just in case.
Why do you want to keep it, I guess, is my question.
There goes Todd, who's never had a frivolous purchase in his life.
I mean, yeah.
There we go.
So I guess, Andy, what I the thing, I mean, this is outside of something I've ever dealt with, but the first thing I would think of would, I know storage facilities. What if you were to put it into a storage facility? Would they have insurance?
Or just bring it over to BJ's house?
Yeah,
that works too. Well, you'll never get it back, but yeah, you could.
But I mean, if it's in your house, right, and your house burns down or it gets stolen, you can't. It sounds like you can't get insurance. I'm sure there's somebody out there for the right price who would insure it. Lloyd's of London, I think, right? They do all kinds of things, right? But
if they insured my feet.
If you're really serious about keeping it, I would consider if you could find a storage facility that has adequate insurance for something like that. That might be something to look into.
You know, and if you want to go on to our you can go on the KISW Facebook page and post on there. There's got to be somebody who's an insurance agent listening to us right now that actually could help you out, because I mean, collecting is real. It's definitely a real thing.
Sure.
I also know there are stores that sell these things and the secondary market. I just think of like our buddies up at Zulu's in Bothell. They have Magic the Gathering cards that are already opened and purchased. So in a way, they're collecting them, but they can get a good amount of money on the secondary market. And when their store was robbed, they had insurance coverage for it. And it's the same thing. It's like, it's not a product that's sealed. It's mm-hmm. already been purchased. And yet it still has value. So somebody covers them. So I can't imagine an individual can't get something.
You would think. I mean, it's not your normal day-to-day insurance policy, right?
Yeah. I mean, and then there are umbrella policies that maybe that could cover that. I don't know, or something. I don't know.
They have caps in them. That's a lot. $120,000.
Yeah. That's a lot of dough.
That's quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, Todd, somebody's willing to take your money, if you're willing to pay it.
Yeah.
Very important text before we get out of here. What does Todd think about string cheese? Peel or take bites?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I gotta peel it.
Thank you.
CBJ? Thank goodness. You're the only weirdo.
I'm the monster.
Why? That's why it's string. You gotta,
right?
It doesn't come like string, though, does it? It comes in a tube.
That's why you peel it.
It's a log. It's a string. To me, it's log cheese.
Are they called log cheese? No.
I don't know why they don't.
It's not as appealing sounding.
Yeah. Would you like some of my log cheese? And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we say farewell to Todd Peach from BECU.org.
Been real.
Don't forget, if you live, you work, or attend school in Washington State, you can be a proud member of BECU like I am, like Todd is. And boy, they do everything a bank does except some of the bad things that sometimes banks can do. They do a lot of good stuff for you because it's member owned. And don't forget, if you have a question and you didn't get through on the phone lines, just go to KISW.com. Scroll down. You'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face. Todd answers all the questions. Plus, it will take you to a webpage that's got some great resources that are free that can give you so much information about financial stuff. So check that all out, Todd.
Thanks, BJ.
I'll see you after you go out and buy something crazy.
Okay. I'll think about that now.
Now, someone called 911 on a popular comic. Again, now they called 911 because of a joke that this comic told at a comedy club. Yeah, we have got audio of the 911 call. You're going to hear it at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I'm telling you, this story makes me just wonder about the land that I live in, that there can be these kind of stupid people in my country. I mean, I hear stories. I just don't believe the stories. But then you get to hear this and go, wow, it's true. Morons are among us.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you've heard of Egyptian-American comedian Ahmed Ahmed.
Yeah, we've had him in studio before.
Oh, yep. Yeah. See, I remember him now.
Yeah.
God, I suck. I can't remember a thing. Was he good?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, great.
Well, he came in with the Sullivan and Sons guy.
Oh, yeah. We saw him at the morning show convention we did, and we had him in sometime after that.
He was really, yeah.
They were great.
That was Steve Byrne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were great.
Yeah. A few other guys, too. They were awesome dudes, and he was one of the guys that popped in and said hi to us.
So, Ahmed, now it's even killing me more that it's that dude that is in the middle of all this. So, anyway, Ahmed had actually, the cops called on him after a stand-up set in Naples, Florida over the weekend. Wow. During his set, Ahmed asked the audience, quote, "How many people here are from the Middle East?" When a few people clapped, he says he quipped, "Well, it only takes one of us." Then after a laugh break, he continued to tell a joke. I mean, what a great line. It's such an awesome line.
And it's playing off the probably uncomfortableness when some people are at a show and they don't know the dude, and he's just like going to play into their stereotypes and have a good laugh about it.
Exactly. And
which is silly that there's even the uncomfortableness.
So then somebody actually called 911 the next day and said the jokes made them uncomfortable. This is unbelievable to me.
The part of the, so when I heard this story and I read that they called them, I'm like, oh, okay, really? And then Ahmed posted the 911 call on his Twitter because it was on a news story. So he shared the news story and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I listened to it and I was just like, wow, this is next level stupid.
Yeah, this really is. And unfortunately, poor Florida. I mean, they are always the target of pretty much the, you know, where we get to see the stupid people in our country. I know they have to be everywhere, but Florida does seem to be the epicenter. And this 911 call surely doesn't help their cause.
Collier County Sheriff's Office, how may I help you?
Hi, I don't know if I have the right department, but I went to a comedy show.
Okay.
There was a comedian, his name is Ahmed Ahmed, and he's, Middle Eastern.
Uh-huh.
And first thing he said when he got out on the stage was, okay, how many Middle Eastern people do we have here? And a whole bunch of people raised their hand.
Uh-huh.
I guess they went to see him because he was Middle Eastern.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you hear the name Ahmed Ahmed, and there weren't a lot of people there, I guess, because of the name. I went because I got free tickets.
Okay.
And as the people raised their names, they said, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Iraq. I'm from Iran. I'm from Pakistan. I'm from here. I'm from there. He said, that's great. He said, we could organize our own little terrorist organization.
Oh.
And I don't think that was right.
Right.
I mean, it really bothered me.
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah, and the paddy wagon's going to be outside to get all of you. I was debating on whether I should call or not.
Yeah, I understand.
There were about 25, Muslims there. So.
All right. Well, we'll have them check it out. Okay.
Okay. I mean,
the 911 person's like, all right.
Yeah. We'll check it out. Yeah. Thanks for calling, dummy.
I like how he's like, I yelled, there's going to be a paddy wagon waiting for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, who is this idiot? I mean, who is this moron?
I got the tickets for free. I didn't realize I'd be
hanging
out with a terrorist organization.
You think he's my age? I really don't.
He sounded a little older.
Okay, good. Okay, I don't want him embarrassing my demographic. The older I get, the more I know.
No, I mean, he sounded a little older, similar to you.
Oh, thanks, thanks. Now he's part of my people. See, that's not a guy I want in my camp. I don't want that guy. I don't want him making my demographic looking bad. He's an idiot, and he's, old. No. Because that's kind of what happens when you get old. You get stupid, and I don't want to be that guy.
So he goes to the comedy show, and he hears a comic tell a joke, and then he takes it literally.
Yeah.
and calls 911.
Because that's exactly the big plan. The big plan is we're going to start the cell here in a comedy club where everybody can hear us and we're being recorded.
This is what Ahmed Ahmed does. He tours the country.
Yeah, he's really
putting together his own version of a terrorist group.
He's been working on this for how many years now? I mean,
years.
Years. This has been years in the making with Ahmed Ahmed. How?
He wants a bunch of terrorists to have a good sense of humor. That's what he's trying to make happen.
How can you get that dumb? I know you can be afraid. Fear is a thing. But can you get that dumb? I mean, really? You can?
I think we have our answer, and that is yes, BJ. Right.
Does it come from fear or does it come from hate?
I think it's a little bit more leaning towards the hate.
Here's what I think. I think, you know, only because I've been in therapy for my whole life, hate stems from somewhere, though.
True.
And fear is pretty much, there's either love and there's fear. Even when people think it's love and hate, but it's really fear. Fear makes you be a moron. You know, and understandably, sometimes you got fight or flight, but I'm sorry. The next day, if you're still like after you calm down and you no longer are afraid, you shouldn't be because you're in your safety of your own home and you're still calling 911, you're just a moron at that point.
And that's a good point. It was the next day.
Yeah.
He's like, I should call the cops. He's doing more comedy. Wow. He's probably assembling more terrorists.
Well, yeah. I have to say, he makes a lot of sense. I'm glad they're going to check into it.
Well, the cops had to show up.
Oh, they did?
No, the cops came because Ahmed Ahmed posted on his Twitter a video of him talking to the cops.
Oy, oy, oy.
It was a 911 call about me that somebody was nervous for their lives based on some of my material. And then you guys had to come down and check me out. And this is the first time for you too, right?
I think this is the first time for everyone here, honestly.
I'm not insulted. I'm a little embarrassed, and I'm also...
Don't be embarrassed.
Don't change your set. Don't change your jokes.
I love you guys.
Yeah. I would like to say to Ahmed, next time if he ever comes in studio, I'm going to demand that he changes jokes because I'm afraid.
Oh, Rev, if you can, go to Ahmed's Twitter page because he just posted the video of the actual joke. Because he had audio of it. He said he was going to tell the cops. I watched the video of him talking to the cops.
Yeah.
And he told the cops, hey, once I get the video from the club, I'll send it to you. That way you guys can tell me whether or not this is appropriate for me to tell.
Finally, we tricked him.
Right.
We tricked him. He's giving us proof now. See, we did it, Steve. We're going to catch this terrorist red-handed.
So we probably want to check it first before make sure there's no bad language or anything along those lines. Yeah. But how great is that? Because most comedy clubs videotape their shows.
Sure.
Because the way the guy told the story to the 911 dispatcher, I can understand why the 911 person was like, wait, this guy's saying this at a comedy show? Because he was very literal in what he said.
We also have the club owner talking to Ahmed on video as well here.
After all 20-some-odd years of having a comedy club, we've never had someone call the police on anybody's set before, but this is new, so this is interesting. We're all curious as if we're supposed to be handling this, but I think you can continue with your set.
You know, I would like to make a social commentary about this because, look, Steve, you and I have been around long enough. There has been terrorism in the world for a while. I don't think it's because maybe there's more terrorism or more that we're aware of. I think it's another case of just thin skindrome. It's like, my God, are you really that much of a little snowflake that you can't tell what a joke is anymore?
I disagree.
I don't think
this is a thin skin. I do think that we have a lot of people who have thin skin. I think this person, I go along the lines of Vicky, I think this person's a racist and has hatred towards certain minorities and was... He was, first of all, appalled that he was at a show that he got tickets for free, and it turns out it's one of them Muslims that's doing comedy. And then you heard him in the call. He goes, there were like 25 Muslims there. Like, that bothered that guy. This guy is based off...
I agree with you, he's a racist. I agree with you, he's a racist. No doubt about it.
And that's why he called the cops.
Yeah, that goes without saying. I just feel like, man... Here's the thing. I have been in clubs, and this is with African-American performers, and back in the 70s and 80s, they would do a lot of material based on still the stereotype that I'm an African-American, hold on to your goods and stuff. A lot of my buddies who would do comedy back in Boston, especially since it was such a racist town, they would do those jokes to basically get the crowd to laugh the way that Ahmed Ahmed did, making a stereotype that people know about, about certain people from the Middle East, and knowing we would laugh. African-American comics in Boston would do the same thing. They would go, hi, ma'am, that's a very nice outfit you have on, very nice purse. but I'm not going to take it. And everybody would laugh. That was kind of like the thing that they would do.
You feed off of that stigma and break the ice.
I don't think anybody in that crowd, and look, I think there were still a lot of racists that would go to comedy shows because I would hear what some people would say, mm-hmm. you know, doing with, as I was standing in the back and all that. I still don't think they would ever call the cops. I think it's racism and then just this level of like, you know what, see something, say something. I can't believe people are that stupid.
I think it's a mixture of stupidity, hatred, racism. I think nowadays I feel like people have this environment where they feel like they are allowed to be a little racist because it's not racist. It's just them being a good citizen.
Oh, good
being,
call. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's just that environment. Right. It's not, I don't think it's a thin skin thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to hide my racism as you know,
protection.
I'm going to be a good guy, but I'm really just secretly a racist.
God, I have the audio clip now.
Good. I'm looking forward to hearing how this joke went mm-hmm. because we heard how the 911 call was and how he described the joke, but I want to hear how the actual joke was.
And I just agree with Vicky. What the hell's wrong with me?
God.
Well, here we go. She actually made a good
point. Times are changing, man.
Yeah,
times are changing.
Yeah, I don't like call 911 on her.
All right, here's the clip.
Okay, clap. You're like, yes, I own. Clap, be proud. Any other Arabs? Clap if you're from the Middle East. All right, we got a handful of us in here. Nice. But hey, it only takes one of us. You tell each other, it takes one. Look at you, little scared ass bitch.
Yeah, see, I mean, that is harmless.
Yeah,
yeah, it's completely harmless. It is, you know,
he's telling a joke about something that some people have like this awkward mentality of, and I thought it was just pointing. I don't know if it's a hilarious joke, but it was definitely not him trying to make a call to arms to create a terrorist group.
He's doing what comedy has always done. He's taking what's really a tough situation in life, and he's letting us actually laugh about it a little bit because you know, if you're too serious about anything in life, it's not good for you. I actually think it's cool what he's doing, and of course. Well, there you go. Good old that guy in Florida.
Like one person says, wow, that was an inappropriate joke. Yeah, I don't understand how people think that.
Why is that an inappropriate?
No, I think they're being sarcastic.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Chill.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry.
Deep breath.
Yeah, it's
deep
tough.
Deep breath.
It's tough. You know, what you can't see when it's written, it's the context sometimes.
No,
is
I
tough.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That was a joke. See that? I just don't want our country to be like this, and it is.
I know people bring up a good point. Muslim, not a race, it's a religion. Totally get that. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just that mentality that somebody would have.
Well, Middle Eastern, though, definitely mm-hmm. is, there's definitely racism against anybody of Middle Eastern descent. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be Iran, Iraq, whatever, it's, you know, or any other country from the Middle East, there's definitely racism as well. And. And of course, it's not the first time in our history that...
I can't wait to call 911 on a comic one of these times. Next time I go see Jim Brewer, I'm calling the cops.
Oh, yeah, you've got to.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, how many times has he made fun of...
Well, I just think about anything. Like, Jim Brewer likes talking about goofing on... Bert Kreischer likes talking about effing with his own kids.
Yeah.
Like, making fun of them. Could you imagine somebody calling the cops or CPS?
Because oh, right.
Like, this Bert guy is clearly a bad parent. I mean, that's the slippery slope that happens with these kind of things. Like, all of a sudden, we're going to start calling authorities on a comic for a joke. What the hell, man?
Yeah, I think Vicky's point, racism combined with I'm trying to do the right thing as a responsible citizen, see something, say something, which is why I hate that. I hate that line, if you see something, say something. I get the intent. But it also turns us into a lot of tattletales. Let's all become parking enforcement officials and tell on everybody else. It turns us into, man, it turns us into a bunch of Anakin Skywalkers. If you know, you remember Star Wars, everybody hated those first three episodes, but George Lucas did teach us a little bit about politics, about extreme positions when people think they're just trying to keep the world safe. And instead, what are they doing? They're taking away freedom and just being fascist at the end of the day. It's ridiculous.
So he said the only thing offensive about the joke was the audio quality.
Sorry about that.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, I don't know why the clubs can't find a way to just wire in right to the recording device, right
we
to the microphone.
We have the technology, BJ.
Why wouldn't the microphone go right into the recording device so that we get good? We do it in our business. It
takes 2 seconds.
It's all it takes. I'm calling 911. They need to fix that. All right, yesterday, Steve, he actually did figure this one out.
What is at an average distance of 238,857 miles from Earth?
The moon?
Yes.
Yeah. Steve, look at you in astronomy.
Wow, I'm excited.
You should have said Uranus, though. You let me down.
I'm afraid someone called the cops on me if I do.
Oh, good point. All right, Uranus, fine. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another question from a listener. I'm getting my wages garnished. Can bankruptcy help with that?
Absolutely. One of the big reasons people file bankruptcy is because they have a judgment or a lawsuit against them, or their wages are getting garnished, and so they can't pay their other regular ongoing bills. People sometimes think that you can't file bankruptcy once they have a judgment against them or once a garnishment has started, and that's not true. Filing bankruptcy will immediately stop any garnishment that you have going, except for child support, and stop your creditors from continuing on with garnishments of your bank accounts, your wages, and in most cases will discharge that liability through the bankruptcy process. And we can file a bankruptcy case for you usually the day you come in.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.